Blog Talk Radio. We Fix Credit. Are you bound by medical bills, child support liens, evictions, late payments, repossession, bankruptcy, or student loans? Today, you can turn that around. Time to be no longer bound. Hi, my name is Dove Stanton, and the name of my credit restoration company is No Longer Bound Financial Services. We are a debt-free company with the means to help thousands of people restore and rebuild their credit. Our customers have been able to obtain their dream homes, dream cars, refinancing, and building a greater future for them and their families. We dispute all negative and erroneous items from all three major credit bureaus. In closing, we can help you restore your credit, which in turn will restore your financial future. The way to reach me is by telephone or text at 678-760-6056, or you can email me at betterdays@gmail.com. Time to be no longer bound. You gotta have
faith. Well. Hello, everyone. Praise the Lord to everybody. This is Elder Richard Taylor on Praise Tabernacle Church Tuesday night Bible study. And I'd like to welcome everybody that's tuned in so far tonight, and our panel members, Elder Victor Bluett and Minister Tolbert. I know that they're on for sure, and any other panel members that may come on a little later. And we just want to say thank you for tuning in on another Tuesday night. Hopefully we have a great word for you tonight, a word that you can get a nugget out of, or wherever you're listening from. It could be anywhere in the United States, over in London, Germany, Bahamas, wherever you are. We pray that you get something out of the word tonight. And we just want to give God all the glory and God all the honor, because he is so worthy to be praised. He is our King of Kings and our Lord of Lords. And we just pray that everyone that's listening will get something that they can draw on tonight and live with and go forward with and share it. Share the word with somebody. You know, get in your word. Get a piece of paper and a pen. Get your Bible and just write down some notes. Anything you feel like that can help you tonight, write them down again. And we just want to say thank you again for coming in and joining in with us tonight. I will be your speaker up on tonight, and I just pray that I can give you something good from the Lord. Amen. And so with no further ado, we're just going to get right into it. I'm going to say a quick prayer, then we're going to jump right into it. We're going to ask our panel to add anything they'd like to add as we go along. And hopefully we won't be before you, hold your patience too long tonight. But just want to just thank God for the opportunity to come before his people tonight. The Lord, we give you glory. We give you honor tonight, Lord God. We magnify your holy name. We pray that your will be done tonight, that your word will have free course into the hearts and the minds of the people that are tuned in, that are listening tonight, Lord God. And we just want to give you glory. We want to give you honor, Lord God, for we know it's not ourselves that make everything good, but you that working within us that makes everything good, that makes everything right. And we just want to say thank you and that we love you tonight, Lord God. We pray that you created us, all of us that's listening from all over the world, a clean heart and renew a right spirit within us each and every day, Lord God, that we acknowledge you as who you are, as our Lord and Savior. With all that said, in Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. All right. Well, like I said, I'm the speaker tonight, and I just want to give a shout out to our pastor. I'm sorry I omitted him, Pastor Omar Zachary and his wife, Lady Zachary, who are the shepherds, the heads of Praise Tabernacle Church. Just give a shout out to them. Hopefully they're listening if they're not too busy with the children tonight. And we just want to thank the Lord for them, and that the Lord will continue to keep them safe and sound and as the leaders of Praise Tabernacle Church. All right. So let's get into the word a little bit. All right. The subject, you know, I'm going to get a subject before I get a scripture. The subject tonight is obedience under pressure. And we want to talk about having an obedient mind to do the will of God, to have an obedient spirit, to be in tune with the Spirit of the Holy Ghost, to be in tune with the Spirit of the Lord, with the Holy Spirit, to be in tune, to have an ear to hear what the Lord is saying to us, and to be able to be obedient to what his call is in our lives, whatever it is. And then on top of that, can we do that while under pressure? Can we do that while succumbing to some things in our life? Can we still be obedient while we go through things in our life? Can we still be coherent enough in the spirit to hear what the Lord is saying to us? And on top of that, be obedient to it as we go through certain situations and circumstances in our life. So let's go over. Get your Bibles out. Follow through with me. We're going to go over to Exodus. And I apologize to the panel. I forgot to send the scriptures out earlier today. But we're going to go over to Exodus, the 17th chapter. We're going to start there. And then our second set of scriptures is going to be over in Numbers, Numbers 20. And I'll tell you what verses when we get over there. So we're going to start off with Exodus 17. Then we're going to go over to Numbers 20. And again, we're talking about obedience under pressure. See, in this chapter here of Exodus, you know, the first few seven, we're going to go through verses 1-6. And these verses are talking about Moses feeling a little pressure from the children of Israel because they were out in the wilderness and they didn't have a lot going on, and it was thirsty. So Moses had to do something because they was putting pressure on him. So let's read about it. Verse 1, Exodus 17, verse 1. And all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journeys according to the commandment of the Lord and pitched in Rephidim. And there was no water for the people to drink. Now they had, and wherefore the people did chide, you know, they began to talk, they began to argue with Moses and said, "Give us water that we may drink." And Moses said unto them, "Why chide ye with me? Wherefore do ye tempt the Lord?" Why do ye provoke the Lord? Verse 3, and the people thirsted there for water, and the people murmured against Moses and said, "Wherefore is this that thou have brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst?" See, now they're starting to put pressure on Moses. They're starting to complain. They've been brought out of Egypt, brought out into the wilderness. Now they got a little thirst going on, and now they're starting to complain against Moses. So Moses is starting to feel a little pressure from the people. And remember, we're talking about obedience under pressure. Can you still be obedient under pressure? Let's figure out what Moses does. In verse 4, and Moses cried unto the Lord. We can stop right there. See, he did the right thing. He went straight to the Lord and cried unto the Lord. And then what did he do? Saying, "What shall I do unto this people? They be almost ready to stone me. I'm feeling pressure. What can I do, Lord God, to help these people, help your people? We come out of the wilderness, out of Egypt into the wilderness, and we camped and pitched up here in Rephidim, and now they're dying of thirst. They say they're going to die. They're ready to stone me. I need to hear from you, God. But can I be obedient under the pressure? See, he's feeling pressure from me. They start to squeeze him a little bit. Probably in his brother Aaron. They're probably trying to squeeze him a little bit. In verse 5 it says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, go on before the people." Moses got a word from the Lord. "And take with thee of the elders of Israel and thy rod, wherewith thou smotest the river, take in thy hand and go." Right? So the Lord gave him instruction. Gave him instruction. He told him, "Take with thee the elders of Israel and thy rod, wherewith thou smotest the river, and take in thy hand and go." That was his instructions for Moses to be obedient in. Verse 6, "Behold, this is what got me. I get a boat shot down. Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock." Now remember this right here. Remember this right here. "And thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel." And now that was another set of instructions from God, from the Lord, to Moses. And he did so in the sight of the people, in the sight of the elders. Amen? So now they can see, because now Moses was obedient to what the Lord was saying at this time. He was being very obedient. He was being coherent to what the Lord was telling him to do. It's so important for us as men and women of God to be obedient to the Lord. Because if we can't be obedient to the Lord, then we can't be nothing else. Because you have to have a humble spirit, a contrite heart. You have to be humble before the Lord, and you have to accept what he tells you to do, whether if you believe it or not. That's what faith is. Moses didn't know what was going to come out, if water or not was going to come out of that rock when he smote it. But he did it out of obedience. Obedience leads to faith. If the panel would like to add anything, you can jump right on in. I leave the floor open for you at this time if you want to add anything. Okay? But I'm going to read verse 6 again. "Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, and the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel." And verse 7, "And he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah," all right, which means proof and contention, because of the chiding of the children of Israel, and because they tempted the Lord, saying, is the Lord among us or not? See, and that's what we do sometimes. Is God really with me? Because we find ourselves in situations or circumstances that don't feel good, just like the children of Israel. They was in a situation, a circumstance that wasn't feeling good to them at that time. And they begin to question Moses. And then we see here in verse 7, they said, is the Lord really with us to leave us here, to bring us out of Egypt? Or at least we can have water to bring us into the wilderness to die. So Moses, as we just read, Moses was feeling the pressure. But he had to go to the Lord to get instruction. And he had to be obedient to those instructions in order for God to get the glory. And it's the same thing with our walk with the Lord today. We have to be obedient unto the Lord, have an ear to hear what his spirit is saying, and an eye to see in the spirit realm what he wants us to do. You know, and it can be the most simplest things, or it can be bigger things. But we have to be coherent in the spirit so that we can be obedient to him. When we hear from him, we can say, yes, Lord. You know, and know that it's the spirit talking. And know that if the Lord wants me to, and because the Lord is not going to have you do something so ridiculous that he's not going to get the glory out of. Because anything that he's involved in and he wants you to be obedient to, he's going to get the glory if we can be obedient to what he is telling us to do. So we just have to be cognizant of that fact that the Lord is with me. I have to know that I hear the voice of the Lord and know that this is him talking to me so that I can be obedient to his cause, that I can be obedient for and to be in his will, so that I can accomplish the things that the Lord wants me to do. You know, because we hear something and he's like, Lord, was that you that said that? You know, because of flesh, we are doubted. Because of our carnal thinking, we are doubted. That's why the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost has to take subject of our flesh and our thoughts and our minds so that we'll be free to hear what the Lord is saying unto us. You know, a couple of keynotes that I have written down here, it says, the pressure of the people caused Moses to disobey God and not follow him in his instruction. That we'll see that later on. Obedience is saying yes, even when you don't understand. You know, that's what encapsulates obedience. Obedience is better than sacrifice, because when you're obedient, you're going to sacrifice at some point in your walk with the Lord. All right? True obedience will cause you to walk in the truth of the word, because the word is nothing but the truth. So when you're obedient to the cause of Jesus Christ, it will cause you to walk in the truth of the word. Obedience will cause you to follow detailed instruction, the instructions of the will of God, just like Moses did. It was God gave him detailed instructions on what to do, and he followed them so that God could get the glory and so that the people of Israel can be nourished with water, and he did it before the elders of Israel. So he followed the detailed instructions. He didn't miss one of the instructions that God told him to do. Amen? Obedience is without question. You know, you might question God a little bit, but as long as you be, you know, you understand that I have to follow through with this because this is what God is telling me to do. It could be something as simple as when you're in a store and God is saying, I want you to pay for the people in front of you groceries. You're like, what? I know I just didn't hear that from God. But in your spirit, man, you know that you heard that from him. Will you be obedient to that cause? Because obviously God knows something that's going on with that family or with that person in front of you that you don't. And it could be a huge blessing in a way to know if they have a relationship with the Lord. Who gets the glory out of that? The Lord. You know, can I pay? You mind if I pay for this for you? I just feel like I need to help you. And usually you don't get a lot of rebuttal. Sometimes you might. But let somebody stand behind me and say they're going to pay for my groceries. I'm like, you are? Okay. Well, hallelujah and thank you, Jesus. Because that could have been their last piece of money for the next 2 weeks or something. So we just have to be careful to follow the instructions of the Lord. And there could be other things that are bigger, you know, and you might even question the Lord even more, you know. So we just have to understand, we have to follow the instructions of the Lord. And follow them just as he tells us. Don't deviate from it, because there's repercussions when you deviate from what the Lord says. You know, for one, he's not going to get the glory. It's going to upset him. You know, so it's can everybody hear me okay? I'm getting a message that it's breaking up. And it's okay. Okay, this shit is clear. Maybe my wife's phone is breaking up a little bit. But so those are some things that we have to understand that what obedience is about. Obedience under pressure. Under pressure. Because when we get under pressure, this is not true for everybody. But what we can do is we can get frustrated, we can get flustered, we don't hear like we should in the spirit because we all in our flesh and that gets us away from what God is telling us to do because of a situation or a circumstance that we can be going through at that particular time. You know, so we just got to stay calm and let God do what he do because we know that he has us in everything. If we're a believer of Jesus Christ, we confess the Lord as our Lord and Savior, and we trust him with our life, we have to know that he has us no matter what it looks like. And we have to continue to be obedient in the midst of trouble, in the midst of gratification, in the midst when we live. Paul said, I've learned to live abase, and I've learned to live abound. And whichever I find myself in, I am content. So we have to be able, at the same time, as many times as Paul, I use Paul as an example, because as many times as he was locked up, him and Silas and some of his buddies, they was locked up and in and out of jail, but they still had to maintain a mindset to be obedient to what the Lord was telling them. And throughout the whole process of what they was going through, they couldn't lose focus on being obedient to the will of the Father. You know, and Jesus is and was the ultimate example of obedience to the call to follow through with his ultimate sacrifice of the cross. You know, when he was over in the Garden of Gethsemane, you know, was a place of obedience. Jesus was under pressure as he prayed to the Father. Jesus prayed three times the same prayer to the Father while under pressure to be obedient. Jesus. You know, so it's very, and he knew he had to fulfill the destiny, but he had to be obedient to the call. That's why the Father sent him here. You know, and he knew the ultimate sacrifice that he had. See, that's why obedience is better than sacrifice. It's not the other way around. So I just want to just encourage everybody to have an obedient spirit, an obedient, humble heart to welcome the Lord in and have a mindset to hear, because he has a mission for each and every one of us that love him, that worship him, that serve him. And if it's nothing more than just being a witness to somebody else, to tell somebody else about who he is, that's obedient right there. So I just want to encourage all of us as we continue in this walk with the Lord, as we continue to move forward in the things of Christ, that we continue to be obedient, just like we expect our kids to be obedient to us. You know,
amen.
Somebody saying something?
So I said amen.
Oh, okay. So, or those of us that have grandkids, you expect for them to be obedient to you because
amen.
They should trust what you say because you're the parent, you're the godparent. Or the grandparents.
Amen.
So they should expect what you're telling them is the truth. Just like, so that's how we should be with the Lord. You know, like a child. Lord, I know this is you, so I'm going to do whatever you say do. Because I can't go wrong when I know that it's you telling me to do this. Because you're not going to have me to do something that's going to make you look bad. And then and make me look bad.
Amen.
So it sounds like Evangelist Ricky Bluett, she's on now, one of our panel members. Evangelist Bluett, we over in Exodus 17.
Right. I just wanted to talk about the consequences of disobedience.
Okay. We ain't got that yet. I want you to just hold on until I can get there, okay? To the disobedient part, because it's coming. It's coming up, okay? So now, as Evangelist Bluett segued us into this next phase, is the disobedient. All right? So let's go over to Numbers 20. Starting at verse 7, Numbers 20, verse 7. And this is another commandment that God had given Moses. And Aaron was with Moses. And the consequences of this was very hard for Moses and Aaron. You know, Moses really began to feel the pressure of the people even more now at this point. And he was frustrated. He was mad with them. And he couldn't keep his composure for the instructions that God was telling him to do. Because he was angry. You know how some pastors can get mad and they'll preach on you over the pulpit? You know, upset with you, you know, and everybody in church know who he's talking about, but he didn't mention nobody's name. You know, that kind of man with the people of Israel, you know, and so he. Let's go to verse 7, 20 and 7. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, again, take thy rod and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron, thy brother, and speak ye unto. See, the first time he said, smite the rod. What did he say this time? He said, speak ye unto the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth his water, and thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock, so thou shalt give the congregation and their beasts drink. And Moses took the rod from before the Lord, as he commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock and said unto them, hear now, ye rebels. See, that's what I mean. He's mad at them now. They're not the children of God. They're not the people. They're rebels now because he's upset. Because they done put all kind of pressure on him. You know, up until this point, it started all over again. Must we fetch you water out of this rock? And Moses, verse 11, and Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock, not once, but twice. And water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beasts also. Let's stop right there. Now, we know that up in verse 8, he told Moses to do what to the rock? To speak to the rock. But because of Moses being upset, he didn't follow the instructions completely as to what God told him to do. But God still allowed to come forth. He still allowed the water to come forth. All right? And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, because ye believe me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel. Therefore ye shall not bring the congregation into the land which I have given them. This is the water of Meribah, because the children of Israel strove with the Lord, and he was sanctified, and he was sanctified in them. And Moses sent messengers from Kadesh in verse 14 unto the king of Edom, thus saying, that brother Israel, that knoweth all the travel that have befallen us. So now Moses is paying the ultimate sacrifice along with his brother. Now the instructions was given to Moses, but because Aaron, his brother that was with him, suffered the same consequence of being disobedient as Moses was. So this is what, when you feel pressure, obedience under pressure, you have to maintain the same focus and the same instruction that God is telling you as you do when you don't feel the pressure. Because the consequences can be even greater. And we see here what happened to Moses and Aaron because of their disobedience. Now, Evangelist, you want to add something now to this point?
No, go ahead.
All right. Key points of Moses' disobedience. He lost his temper. He spake harshly to the congregation, called them rebels, guilty of unbelief, not trusting the power of God, failed to glorify God before the people. And see, God didn't embarrass himself because he still got the glory because water still came out the rock. Even though Moses was disobedient, God still got the glory because water still came out. And people still saw the water come out. So God still got the glory. But he still made Moses pay and Aaron pay for their disobedience. You know, and after all that Moses had done, him and Aaron and Miriam, their sister, all they had done with the children of Israel from the time that they were in Egypt to up until this point, everything he's done in between. And that one instance of disobedience, God said, I show you the land, but you won't go over into it with them. And that was their main goal to get to, the land that God had promised them. Because his loss of focus, frustration, anger caused him to not follow the will of the Father to the letter. And to understand what the Lord was saying like he did the first time. It was just a little pressure then. Now it was a lot, you know. So Moses kind of lost it. So we have to be careful because disobedience will cause us to lose it in a lot of different ways. Disobedience is rebellion against God. You know, Aaron was with him in his in Moses' offense to the Lord, so he suffered the same punishment. They both didn't go into Canaan. You know, Moses lived to be about 120 years old and missed out. Can you imagine God? You've been doing the will of the Father all this time, or since your whole saved life, and at one time you disobey God, or you didn't follow His instructions to the letter, you lose something dramatic. Not saying that you go to hell or anything like that. You still go, you know, or He even kill you. I'm not saying that. But something changes in your life because of that one instance of disobedience. Because God gave him specific instructions, just like he did on the first time they was thirsty. And Moses followed it to the letter. This time, because he was caught up in himself, he was caught up in, and probably he had, him and Aaron probably been talking. They both was probably mad. As you can see, he called them rebels. What verse was that in when he called them rebels? Verse 10. And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock. Now, I don't know what kind of rock this was. And he said unto them, hear now ye rebels. must we fetch you water out of this rock? You know, and I believe yes.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't want to interrupt your thoughts, but once you, I just wanted to make a quick comment on where you were.
Go ahead.
Okay, I just want to speak. Great job, by the way. Just want to speak on one of the parts in that very scripture right there, where we're talking about Moses and Aaron and how he let the pressure get to him at this point with this verse. As you're reading it, and Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock, and he said unto them, "Hear now, ye rebels." That's a mistake, you know, of course, speaking out of turn, you know, saying that against the children of Israel, God's people. Then he takes the credit when he say, "Must we fetch you water out of this rock?" So now you're trying to make it seem like it's on you, on it's something that you and Aaron have done, but really, you know, they're vessels, you know, in this thing. So, you know, that all honor, complete glory is supposed to go to God, but that's taking some of the shine when you're saying, "Must we fetch you water out of this rock?" So it's making it seem like you got the power and the authority on your own to bring forth the water, but no, it's God that's working through you. And that's where the lesson comes in, where you can't let that pressure, the outside pressure, try to deter you from where you're going in Christ. When God give you a commandment, follow the commandment, knowing that not only for the people have already seen what God has been doing, and you know that they're stiff-necked because they're, instead of them realizing that God has been bringing them through and keep holding on to that, so whatever he brought y'all through before, that should be enough to get you over to the next thing and get over the next situation.
Absolutely.
So, you know, so that's pressure when you're hearing it from, as a leader, hearing the people that you're leading, and they're not getting the bigger picture, and they're not understanding the light at the end of the tunnel, so to speak. So I think that's a main problem where Moses went wrong, when he tried to steal the credit from God, just in that small sentence right there. And good job, by the way. That's all I had to say.
Thank you, sir. God be the glory. You're so right. That's a very good point, you know, because he became like the people. And as a leader.
Exactly.
As a leader, you know, whether you're an elder, a deacon, a pastor, an evangelist, you know, prophetess, whatever your role is in the body of Christ, you have to be different than the laity. They have to see something that they're striving to be, because they see the God in you. You're never promoting yourself. You're promoting God. You're promoting Jesus, you know, in your life. And that's what other people should see, even the world should see. And Moses got away from that when he, like you said, Minister Tobit, you know, shall we bring forth water out of the rock? You know, and so he forgot all about God, it sounds like here.
Right.
To me. You know, it sounds like he forgot about it because he's mad at him. Because they won't act right, they won't do what they're supposed to do, and like you said before, everything that happened, that's transpired from the time that they left Egypt up until this point, they ain't got it right either, because they can't. All they're doing is complaining. And how long did they wander in the wilderness? What, 40 years? You know. So,
yeah.
It's as a leader, especially as a leader, we have to be obedient to the will of the Father. We have to have an open heart, open mind, saying what the Lord is telling us and showing us to do. And we have to be obedient to the call, obedient to the will, you know, and so that the people can see that if Minister Tobit is doing this and I see how the Lord is moving in his life, I can do it too. And it's not because Elder Taylor's not promoting himself. but I can see the Lord is doing it for him, then I can move in the things of God too. And that's what we want, because we want growth. We want people to grow. We want people to develop throughout the body of Christ, all over the world. We want people to love the Lord. We want people to love Jesus. We want people to be obedient to his will, to his word that they read, trust it, obey it. You know, everything that he tells us to do, we have to be obedient to do it. We can't be disobedient, period, because you cannot successfully serve the Lord being disobedient. That is never, when I say never, that will never work. That will never work, saints. Men and women of God, children of God, who's ever listening on the broadcast tonight, it will never work being disobedient. You cannot satisfy our Lord and Savior being disobedient. And as we read here, look at the circumstances behind Moses' disobedience. After all the Lord used him to do prior to this, look how he just dropped off in the instant. Because he did not follow. Because see, the Lord wanted the people to see. Because who God was in Moses, I'm going to speak to this and water's going to flow from it. See, the first time I hit it. So if I hit it again, it ain't going to mean a whole lot to the people. But if I speak to it this time, you'll know that it was the Father and that he's with us and that he hasn't left us. I believe that's what God was trying to get the people to see through Moses. That if I speak to it, I ain't going to hit it this time, but if I speak to it, you will know the power of God is with us. And this ain't about me, because I don't have that kind of power other than God that's working, Jesus is working through me. That I can speak to this rock and water come forth out of it. I believe that's what God wanted the people to see Moses do with this rock. But he hit it again just like he did the first time. So they're like, oh, we've seen this movie before. But God still allowed the water to come forth. You know. But then later on, he told Aaron, this is what's going to happen. What he said in verse 12, he said, "And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, because ye believe me not to sanctify me." See, y'all didn't believe me to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel. Therefore, ye shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. They didn't sanctify the Lord in the eyes of the people. And that's what the people needed to see. They needed to see that the Lord was still with them, that the Lord had not left them. You know, and I believe that's why God told him, like he told him, y'all did not sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel because of your frustration, because of your anger. You called them rebels, my people, rebels. Yeah, they might have been stiff-necked. They might have been kind of out of order a little bit. But they were still God's people. You know. And I think with Moses, if he could have been obedient to what God told him to do, it would have went a long, long way on his behalf as well. And people would be like, oh, Moses must really hear from God. And that would have benefited him as well in his leadership. The people willing to follow him even more. Because of the glory that God operated through him, and he stays at a humble place, to where he gives God all the glory, and not get mad. I mean, you know, the Bible says we can be angry, but sin not. So Moses did. He just could. I just wish he could have did different. I wish you could have been obedient in this situation. Because obedience causes spiritual growth in areas of faith, in the word, trials and tests. You know, it gives you growth when you're able to do these things successfully because you're being obedient. Disobedience is rebellion against, you know, it's a recognized authority of a form of witchcraft. I mean, we allow the pressures of the world to dictate how we serve the Lord. And I believe that's a very true statement to a lot of people. Not to everybody, but to a lot of people. We allow the pressures of the world to dictate how we serve the Lord. Instead of allowing our obedience to God to dictate how we serve Him, our Lord. So we cannot allow the world, the pressures of the world, to dictate to us how we serve our God, how we serve our Jesus. Whether we're going to be obedient to Him today and disobedient tomorrow because the world is putting so much pressure on me. So I can't be obedient and follow the instructions of the Lord to the letter because I'm so caught up in what's going on in the world all around me. But we have to be careful. We have to be coherent in the spirit that we can hear from the Lord, that we can be coherent and be obedient to His cause, obedient to His word, you know, and allow the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, to give you strength, to encourage you, to lift you up, to renew you, to revive you, to restore you. Because like I always say, you plus Jesus, you win. You don't lose. I don't care what it looks like, what it sounds like, you win. If you faithfully love and trust the Lord and live the life that He instructs you to live, that He instructs all of us to live through His word and by the power of His Holy Ghost, you win. You don't lose. I don't care what it looks like, what it sounds like, what other people are saying around you, all the chatter that's going on all around you, you win. No matter what, if you saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, you win. This is what I believe, and this is what the Word says. We win with Jesus. So we have to be obedient because we know He ain't going to tell us no lie. I don't know. Now, I'm not saying that it hasn't been said. But I don't know if anybody's ever said Jesus lied to me. Somebody probably has. Some agnostic person or, you know, devil worshiper or somebody that tries to down the name of Jesus. But anybody within the body of Christ, I haven't heard him say Jesus lied to me. Because He's all truth. He's all love. So He gives us, you know, time and time again, as long as we have breath in our body to get it right. Now, that doesn't mean that it won't be circumstances and situations that come with disobedience in your walk with Him. But He'll give you a chance to get it right. You know, He'll give you a chance. And probably a whole lot more chances than we ever deserve to get it right. So, you know, it just behooves us to be coherent in the spirit of what God is saying. Don't allow the world, the pressures of the world, to dictate how you serve your Lord, your God, how you serve Jesus. You don't let the world dictate to you. Because the joy I have, the world didn't give it to me. The peace I have, the world didn't give it to me. The love I have in my heart that's changed my heart so much, the world didn't give it to me. Only one person could have done this to me and for me. and that's Jesus Christ. So I'm not going to let the world dictate to me how I serve him. And neither should anybody that's listening. Wherever you are tonight, wherever you are, whatever what time of day it is, wherever you are, you do not allow the world, the pressures of the world, to dictate how you serve your God, Jesus. Because disobedience is like a form of witchcraft. So we have to be cognizant of those things. We have to be, you know, and just stay prayed up. You know, I always ask the Lord to give me an ear to hear what he's saying to me in the spirit. Always. And we'll always do it. Because sometimes I can miss it, you know, and I may not hear from him like I should, you know. So we want to be cognizant of, you know, hearing right from God, you know. It could be, like I said, it could be simple things in our daily walk, or it could be something major that makes a significant difference in someone else's life. Or makes a big significant difference in your own life.
Amen.
You know, so I'm about done. Any panel got anything? I don't know where that came from. That just hit me.
Blue at. Can somebody correct me if I'm wrong? I vaguely remember why Moses was punished or was not allowed to go over into the promised land, land of milk and honey. So in chapter 17 of Exodus, the rock represented Jesus. And it also represented him dying once for our sin. So when you go over to the book of Numbers in chapter 20, when he restruck the rock again, and it was based on his surroundings and the people, but when he struck the rock again, after God told him to speak to it, it showed a picture that Jesus had to die again for sin. So the overall view that God wanted us to have was that Jesus had to only die once, sacrificing his blood, and not have to be hit again or sacrificed again or brought back and killed again on the cross. That was the punishment for Moses. Even though Moses was the man or the prophet that God spoke to face and called him a servant, no matter how good we think we are, no matter how much of a servant we think we are, if you do wrong with God, you're going to go down, right? So that's the reason why Moses' situation ended the way it did, because God wanted him to speak to the rock. And right now, New Testament, we speak, right? We don't have to follow the law anymore and physically do, because none of our works will place us under salvation. None of our works will. So that was the reason why Moses was not allowed to go into the promised land.
All right. Very good points, Elder Bluette. I appreciate that. Thank you. And it's so correct. I just pray that, you know, someone got something out of the word tonight, a nugget, something that can help you. From any one of the panel members, myself, that something was spoken that could help you in your walk moving forward from this day forward. and always learning something. Try to always learn something about Jesus each and every day, you know, to keep you intrigued about who he is and what he's about. And not just what he does for you, but just for who he is and what he can, and things that he, you know, he just keeps us, you know, just by his mercy and his grace, we see another day. You know, millions of people didn't wake up today. So I'm just grateful. I'm humbly grateful that who Jesus is in my life, who he is in my wife's life, who he is in my family, you know, and that they know that, you know, even all my football buddies, they know that I'm a man of God. You know, so I try to lead an example that, you know, who I serve. And that's the way we should always be in the world. Let the people know you ain't ashamed about who you serve. You know, because he's not ashamed of you. So why should we be ashamed of him? You know, I know that's a little off topic, but always never be ashamed of who you serve. You know, I know we get in our closet sometimes, but we don't have to be in our closet about who we serve, who we love, who is our King of Kings, who is our Lord of Lords, who is the Alpha and the Omega in our lives. We never have to be ashamed of that. You know, so I just want to encourage everyone that has been listening tonight to be blessed and the rest of this week. Have a good week, you know. And again, we have an email, and Evangelist Doug Stanton is not on tonight, but I haven't heard of any new emails being received about the, you know, so our email, and I'm done with the Bible study. I just want to say that the email is ptcforchrist@gmail.com. And that's for anybody that has a praise report, a prayer request, anything significant you'd like to share with the body. We'll try to get it out there all over the world so people can hear. We don't have to necessarily put your prayer request out there, but unless you say do so. But any praise reports, anything of significant good news you would like for us to share with the world, how God is moving in your lives, email us. Give us a shout-out, and we'll try to get it on every week. And it's ptcforchrist@gmail.com. And, again, our weekly schedule at Praise Tabernacle Church, where Bishop Omar Zachary is our pastor, his wife Lady Zachary, and their family, the Zachary family. We do D&K Bible Break on Mondays at 7 p.m. on Chaos Block Talk Radio, and then on Tuesdays again it's Praise Tabernacle Bible Study with any one of our panel members that's teaching on any given night. And then on Thursdays, it's Praise Tabernacle. It's Bishop Omar Zachary. I'm sorry, Bishop Omar Zachary and family on Thursdays on Chaos Block Talk Radio and on Facebook Live. And then on Sunday mornings at 9 a.m., it's Praise Tabernacle Church. We will hear Bishop Omar Zachary or his wife, First Lady Zachary, doing praise and worship Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on Chaos Block Talk Radio and on Facebook Live. So you just go on Facebook and look up Praise Tabernacle or PTC, and you can find us there giving God glory if you can't make it to the sanctuary. Again, I just want to thank everyone for tuning in tonight and giving God glory tonight. And I appreciate everyone that our panel members, Mr. Tolbert, Victor Bluett, Evangelist Ricky Bluett, for being on tonight. I thank you guys for your input everything that you do with the ministry on a weekly basis. And I just want to say thank you, guys. I'm very humble and grateful to be a part of this ministry, and I just give God all the glory. And if there be nothing else from the panel, I'll pray us out, and we're dismissed. Okay. Well, Lord, we give you glory. We give you honor. We magnify your name. We thank you for what I believe was a good word tonight, the input from the panel members and everyone that was listening tonight. We thank you for them. If you touch each and every family, each and every family that is listening tonight, bless them, Lord God. Keep them safe. Be a hedge of protection around them, Lord God, around their families, around their children, grandchildren, brothers, sisters, mothers, uncles, aunts, everyone in their lives that they're connected to, that you touch each and every one of them. And that someone that might have heard something tonight that would draw them to you, Lord God. And that you be glorified in their life, that you can teach them, that you can mold them, that you can shape them, Lord God. And that they are staying in tune with the Bible study or any one of our other services throughout the week, Lord God, with the ministries. And I just say thank you, Lord God. We give you glory. We give you honor. For there's nothing, there's no one greater than you, Jesus. And we just honor you tonight. And we pray for our bishop, Omar Zachary, and his wife, Lady Zachary, Lord God, and all the families of Praise Tabernacle Church, everyone that's associated, every member of Praise Tabernacle Church, that you touch them, touch their families, touch their households, Lord God, and everyone that is ill tonight, everyone that has their sickness in their bodies, Lord God, that you touch them, that you heal them, Lord God, where they are right now, that you just touch them and heal them, Lord God, and that they have the faith to believe that you can heal them and touch them in a supernatural and super spiritual way, Lord God. We just give you honor, Lord God. We love you. We pray that you create in us, everyone that's listening, a clean heart, a renewed, a right spirit in each of us on a daily basis. We give you honor, Lord God, as we log off tonight, but never logging off from your presence, Lord God. We say, go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. That's our great commission. That's what we say every day, every time at the end of the service. Be encouraged. We love you. I love you. In the name of Jesus, amen. You are dismissed from Tuesday Night Bible Study.